since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1216. This is your host, Danny Pena, and this week I've been joined by Pete. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Daniel? How are you?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. A couple announcements this week. I know some games coming out. Mm-hmm. Bayonetta officially coming out in October. We have God of War coming out in November. You know, it's a good time to be a gamer. This year's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, seeing these announcements of things and seeing the sale or like the post announcement rush of people. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild. Like seeing people trying to resell their pre-sale for like crazy looking numbers on eBay and stuff like that. I'm fascinated by that right now for some reason.
Yeah, actually, and on the chat, I mentioned Stray is coming out this week. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to try that out. I have review codes, but that was more for my job. So the producers and talent, they already got that. So they've been playing it. But I am definitely going to play it. I know it's going to be on the PlayStation Plus subscription there. So I'm going to play and try it out. Looks a lot of fun. It looks like a very dark cat game.
So. But you know what else? It's something that you can sit back, and I wish if it was available for the stream for the Steam Deck that's supposed to be coming to my mailbox whenever the email shows up. That seems like one of those games that you can just sit back and relax and play, and it doesn't seem to be like the frenetic action-packed type game that you would like that you normally associate with the summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Astos Falls comes out this week too. That's another one I've been playing out for a while. I'll talk about it in the future, but I know. Shout out to Paris. He had an event that he was hosting with the Kind of Funny crew. Yep. In Los Angeles. I missed it because we got invited to attend the Saints Row preview event.
Nice.
In Las Vegas. So I was there. Future content. We're going to be talking about it here on Gamertag Radio soon. But the event overall was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to talk about my experience and everything. But let me tell you this. It was hot as hell in Las Vegas. 112 degrees. 112 degrees. I couldn't take it. I was like, dude, I had to like, at night it was like around 98, 97, you know, but my God, it felt like I was inside of an oven. It was hot, man. But yeah, besides that, it was a lot of fun overall. I got to see a lot of the content creators and journalists from the industry. So it was cool seeing a lot of people, man. A lot of people there. All right. So we have a couple topics here. And also, I'm excited that I have my copy of the book. It's not the official copy because this is just more of a test.
That's amazing.
Danny loves video games. Look, this is something I've been trying to do for a long time because I've done film. I've done like a bunch of stuff about GTR. But I'm like, man, I want to do a book. And I've been talking to a couple people to see if we could do it for years. And I'm finally going to start working with my cousin about this. Is like our first project together. We have never done this before. So he's done like children's books for years with his wife. His books is also available in the public library in Florida and multiple libraries, so all across the state.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be our first major project. Like this is one of my favorite projects I've ever worked on, like ever for me, man. So I'm very, very excited. So yeah, this is the cover. And in the back, it has something cool. It has a quote that says, dream big and do what you love. So there's going to be more details about this. We're planning to have pre-orders soon, you know, through different places. I'll let you know. I'm very excited to talk about this in the future, man. But yeah, so there you go, folks. For those of the known, I'm going to have my first children's book, man. So Pete, I never told Pete and I never told Paris. I wanted everybody to be surprised about this. And they were like, wait, what? So that was really cool. Really cool. But yeah, what'd you think, Pete? Everything.
The cover is amazing. First and foremost, congratulations. It's it's amazing to see how you've been able to just move your story from real life to film and now to a children's book, right? I mean, that's, I mean, as we all start to get to that later part of the stage, right, of our lives, thankfully I've moved on from that. But, you know, obviously Paris is a parent, you know, he's, you know, three children, various ages, you having just gotten married. So, you know, I can imagine that's going to be upcoming soon, right? As part of your, as part of your now a husband, as opposed to just a boyfriend and, or a fiance. Now you're a husband and all those things that come. So being a parent, once you are one, you're always one, right? Regardless of how things pan out or turn out, you know, once a parent, you're always a parent. But you're not always a father or a mother. That comes with time, effort, and respect. It's great to see that you've been able to now push your story out into onto paper, physical paper medium, right? Which, you know, it's in 2022 is almost kind of like a lost art these days, right? You know, everybody's always looking for something that they want to just look at, you know, on a tablet or a laptop and not tangibly hold in their hands. So, you know, congratulations. I'm excited for you. And you know, it's, you know, just another, it's another notch on the story of Danny Pena. You know, you have an amazing story and I'm glad we're able to get this out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited to share it. And, yeah, you never know. I'll probably go to a couple places to have like a launch event or something. We'll see. Details coming soon. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We have over 1,200 episodes. 1,200 episodes. No gaming podcast has that. Zero. And we have a lot of content. Just make sure to check it out. All right, you can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Follow us. Subscribe. Spread the word about us. It will help us also if you review us, man. A lot of new people have been discovering us because of your support and help, so keep it up. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail discussion, head over right now to your email and add fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So we're done over here, Pete. That was a very long intro, by the way. But I know you said you had a question for me. About PC?
Yeah. Yes.
Before we go to the topics.
Like 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, you and I sat in these respective chairs talking to each other on Discord as we are now. Mm-hmm. And we went through the journey of building your gaming PC and had it delivered. And I was wondering, what has that been like? Because you've always walked around with your Mac as your primary computing device. Mm-hmm. And have always been a console gamer for as long as I've known you, right?
Yes.
You've always espoused, I know, like we always tease you, hell shit, you got married in a green suit, right? So it was like, you know, it's like, I always,
I knew you were going to say that.
So like,
well, that's a reason why.
I know. But like, you know, you're a self-proclaimed console fan, right? And I don't want to say fanboy because it sounds
nah.
Negative. You're a fan of consoles, of handhelds, of you know, standalone, whether it's the Dreamcast, which has always been your favorite of all time, or the Nintendo, or the Genesis, or the Xbox, or the PlayStation. You've always been that. But you finally said, you know what? I want to delve and get into this PC thing. Now that you've had a gaming PC for several months under, you know, in your household, you know, we had a talk, you know, a couple weeks ago about Steam sales and games. What has that experience been like? How has the introduction of a gaming PC altered or edited or changed your workflow, whether it comes to either editing videos or you know, podcast mixing or editing or just overall general usage or just, you know, downloading, playing games on Steam?
First of all, it was back in December, Pete, that I got my PC, which is wild to me. Time flew by. Because I remember I was like, yo, it's the end of the year. I think I want to get a gift for me. And it was a gaming PC. And you helped me out with that, so thank you, man. So, yeah, I received it around beginning of December, around there or so. The end of November, around there. So, but it's been great. Like, I still, look, don't get me wrong, I still play consoles. It's not something that's going to make me stop. And for me, it's just been easier, especially when it comes to like the content creator side, it's been easier for me to capture recording stuff, not only through consoles, but also through just straight from the PC. I could just do it from there. And it's been great. I've been playing my gaming PC nonstop, man, for months. And I also, you know, now that I got the Steam Deck, I've been playing that too, man. So I have a lot of games that's available on my Steam account on the PC. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I think this is perfect time for me to continue my gaming session and through my handheld device, man. So it's been great. I still don't edit a podcast through the gaming PC because I have certain plugins and everything that I have it available still on my Mac. That's the reason why the podcast sounds great. So I just don't feel comfortable editing on my PC. But yeah, I still use it, man, a lot, man. So, but it's been great. I know that because of the room where I'm at right now, sometimes depending on the game that I'm playing, it could get really hot, man. Because of the, I don't know if it's like that for you over there, mm-hmm. but you know, it depends on the game, you know. Thank God everything has been smooth so far, man, with my experience with this, man. You know, I just, I need to learn how to clean inside. It's not dirty or anything like that. I just got to figure some things out just to keep it clean and, you know.
Right.
And so it could run pretty good and everything, man. But it was worth it. So, so worth it for me, man. And I've done so much more because of the gaming PC ever since I got it.
That's
from
really
both
cool.
gaming and also content creation side, you know.
That's cool.
So
have you found it easier to do it on a PC versus the way you were doing it previously on the Mac?
Well, what's it on a Mac? Well, first it was the Mac, and then I got a gaming laptop,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing that for a long time. Like, for example, the interview I did with Giancarlo. I'm trying to think who I interviewed.
Reggie?
No, Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
I did it through the laptop. Phil Spencer, I did it through the Mac. You know, there's a bunch of interviews that I've done during the gaming laptop days. I figure it out, man. Look, I feel like sometimes you have to work whatever you have at the moment, man. And those two laptops helped me, especially my Mac. Dude, I was using my Mac since the beginning for GTR. Right. Even the first episode was recorded on a Mac. You know, so I've done a lot, man. But now I think with this, it's just like another option and faster way to capture and record and play games for me compared to like the laptops that I have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, okay. Yeah. But it's been good. Good.
That's something that I've been curious about over the last, God, now that it's been, 9 months now or 8 months since you've had it. You know, it's how that transition has gone, right? Like, so when I moved back in, was it 2013? Yeah, it was essentially the announcement of Star Wars 1313. That's when I was like, okay, I'm moving over to gaming PC, or moving back to gaming PC after being, you know, on a console for so many years. And I think the most difficult part was always the transition from controller to keyboard mouse. And it takes time, right? Like, I mean, even today, even to this day, I still find myself looking down at my keyboard periodically, or like I'll move my hands or I'll do something mid game and I'll come back and my hands are on ESDF instead of WASD, right? So it's, you know, I'm like wondering, why isn't my character turning, you know? And it's because it's like one character shifted over. But I'm just curious, do you only play with your controller connected to the PC, or have you made a wholehearted effort to like try and do the keyboard mouse thing?
I tried it, just not for me. and I tried many, depending on the game, I've tried it all. I know Mythforce is another early access game that I've been working with the studio to review that game a couple months back. And I asked him, hey, is this game is going to have mouse and keyboard support only, or are we going to also have controller? They're like, as of right now, it's only mouse and keyboard. And I'm like, God damn. So I had to get used to that. So I played that the whole time without a controller. But, you know, I've been playing a lot of Apex still and Fortnite with Rihanna and, right, and friends. And that one I've been doing through the controller, man. I just don't have the patience to to play mouse and keyboard. But that's the good thing. Like, my brother, he also got into PC gaming, and he's been doing the same thing too. Like, there's certain games that he will play mouse and keyboard, mm-hmm, and there's some he'll just go with a controller. Like Apex, he will go with the controller for him. He feels comfortable with that, wow, for him.
Interesting. Yeah. I never realized that. And I've played with Nano on Apex several times.
You know, we were supposed
to get together like last week or something like that, and we just didn't. I think he had to go out. It's interesting how, and he holds his own, right? And it, yeah, I guess it depends on the game too. As long as that's something that, as long as the control is there, the ability to play well, and it doesn't hinder you in any way, shape, or form, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like the most important thing, man, and this is why it's important for more games to support this, is crossplay and cross platform, because for example, with Fortnite, it's everywhere, right? So I have friends that we play. By the way, no build, because I hate that whole building thing.
Right,
it's trash to me. But you know, we have people that have PlayStation, another one that have Xbox, and I have the PC, and we all play together, man. And voice is pretty good. Same thing with like Apex Legends. We do that all the time, you know. So I just wish more games have that, man, because I feel it's just a lot easier to start playing with people, you know. I know Outriders, for example. I know the new expansion came out. I was I went downstairs real quick to get something to drink, and I saw Reed playing. And by the way, the expansion I heard is really, really good, by the way. This one, that game is cross platform, so crossplay, so you could play any console or PC with others. So that's pretty cool. I hope we get to see that with other games, man. You know, just to make it easier for people to just play together, man, instead of this whole like, hey, it's only Xbox, only PC or only PlayStation, you know. So but I'm still trying to figure out like what other games I should download on the PC to try it out and play, man, you know. Just to see how it is when it comes to like graphics and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, all right. Anything else, Pete? We could change
No, we good. Yeah. We can flip. Just something I've always been curious about. So glad we could actually talk about it on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Good. By the way, guys, I've been reading that. Well, first of all, I know it's official that Bungie is now part of the PlayStation family. That was announced a couple of days ago. Now, I've been reading, Pete, that Microsoft and Activision Blizzard acquisition might get approved by the FTC by August or so. So that's a very interesting time frame, because if you think about it, August is Gamescom. So let's say this gets approved and it's official, there could be an opportunity where Microsoft, you know, / Xbox could announce some announcements during Gamescom. And I think this would be like the perfect place, because there was no announcements so far during the showcase, because they're not allowed to say anything. And I think the only thing that we know is just the new Call of Duty. But I think this would be a great opportunity to just announce some surprises, man. I think, in my opinion, if this gets approved, man, what you think? Do you think this is something that is possible, or what?
Look, in this day and age, everything is possible. I think it's safe to say. I mean, hell, Nintendo just announced an acquisition just a few days ago as well. So, mm-hmm, interesting. Just waiting. Just a matter of time before, you know, all of these.
Yeah, you know, that would be approved, cool.
You know, and I think the Nintendo one was just something that's more videos or film related.
Yeah, animation, right? Like, it was an animation.
I'm trying to think. I forgot the name of the company, but they're going to eventually rebrand to something called like Nintendo Pictures, which is going to focus on video content based off of their IP. So I'm curious if now like Detective Pokemon will now be done by them as opposed to going through third party studios. But with the Activision Blizzard stuff coming now, I'm curious what's going to be the first thing that they formally announce just after that. What on your mind will be the first major announcement? Do you think it'll be a Diablo type or something that's more from the Blizzard side, or do you think we'll see the first announcement be from the Activision side?
I think from the Activision side, something related to something related to like Call of Duty, maybe something that would be great, saying they went on Game Pass or whatever, like that type of thing. Or from the Activision side, yeah, Diablo or one of those major PC games, right? I know, I'm trying to think of the name of the other game that's, I know it's coming out. Is it, oh my God, I'm trying to remember.
Overwatch 2
is coming out, right? So that's something that they could show that. But also bring back the classics, stuff that we haven't seen in years. You know, Activision have so many IPs there, right? Easily could bring it up, you know? That would be cool.
Yeah.
In my opinion. All right. What else? And
okay, so, all right, I got something. So yeah. I think it was one or two shows ago, we had a question on fan mail about the next Assassin's Creed. The day after we recorded that episode, there was a claim that it would be set in Mexico with an Aztec setting, right? Now the new story is AC Rift, which is set in Baghdad.
So it's two different locations, like two.
Well, no. I think the Aztec setting was made out of turn or just without potential knowledge. Whereas now, because I mean, hell, if we go back to the fan mail that I talked about, I think it had something to do with Norway or Vikings in that region. I had mentioned it was something Greek or something like that. But now they're saying that it's not going to be an Aztec setting, but it's rather going to be set in Baghdad, which brings it back to, you know, the Emea, you know, Indian region. So I'm curious, would you rather it be Aztec or would you rather them go to Baghdad?
Man, two dope locations, I think, in my opinion. I would love to see it Aztec just because we haven't seen that yet from like the Latin America side. I think that would be cool to see. Because I feel like we've seen a lot from over there in Asia and Europe and, you know, all those locations, but there has been zero from the Latin America side. So for me, Aztec, I will go with that, in my opinion. What about you?
I mean, I think Baghdad sets itself to fit within the previous stories, the original stories. This gives it a great opportunity to tie in potentially to original, you know, original content or the original IP from years ago. I do think though that an opportunity for whether it be Aztecs or Mayans, you know, that whole Latinx history does have a lot of opportunity as well. My dream has always to see feudal Japan included. I know they had the side scrolling 2D platformer many years ago, but I would love to see something much more 3D fleshed out in feudal Japan, you know, with ninjas and samurais and ronin, and that would be ideal.
I could picture that would be intense. And at the same time learn about the history and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got, and it doesn't even have to be feudal Japan. It could be Japan, it could be China, because you've got, you know, you have, you know, the Great Wall of China. You've got all of that history of that entire region. It could be, you know, it could be Japanese, it could be Korean, it could be Chinese. There's so much history that we haven't touched globally, not just, you know, in that specific region, but obviously because, you know, I do actually have, you know, I am part Asian and I'm part Latin. So it's that would just touch every single fiber of my being if it went and had something in either of those areas.
Yeah. By the way, Pete, we have, I think, one family question, I think. But also on this episode, I'm planning, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about this. I have an interview with Ubisoft, one of the devs. They announced a new Division game, but it's only for mobile. It takes place in New York City. Mm-hmm. This has the formula of the Division 2. This is also going to be a free-to-play game. And if you don't like the touch screens to play it like through there, you could also connect a Bluetooth controller and play the game through there too, man. So have you seen the video? Like, this is just like an alpha footage. It's not the official, you know, retail version. But seeing it, in my opinion, it has like a lot of potential to be pretty big, especially for a whole new audience that has never played The Division. Mm-hmm. I had a great conversation with the dev, and I'm going to play here on this episode. But before we do that, I would love to hear your thoughts about the announcement and The Division.
You're talking about Resurgence, right?
Resurgence, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, I saw the video gameplay video that they did, the walkthrough. From what I understand, it's going to be an independent campaign separate from Division 1 and Division 2. And you're essentially going to be going through and fighting hostile factions and, you know, rebuilding each one of the little camps. I mean, I'm glad that they've finally used something for this for the mobile side. I think they've been lacking, if anything, from being able to touch upon that genre, because, and I've said it for years now, mobile's huge. Mobile, if you look at it just from a pure numbers perspective, far outweighs combination of console and PC all put together, with change left over. So maybe it just took them a lot longer to get through. And I think it's still going to be an alpha, or it's still in alpha. It's not ready for not even beta or full release yet.
No, but there's going to be a test for, I think, like a week or so. They did mention that people could play it. They just want to see the feedback. And right. Here's the crazy thing. I even asked him, like, hey, is there going to be Dark Zone in this? And he was like, yeah. Ooh. So I think, yeah, in the game. And I know I asked him about, like, the thing that I love about The Division 2 is right after you're done with the game, the end game now you have new enemies. The difficulty is even harder, right? And he said that also going to be available in there too. Not for the alpha release. This is just more future, you know, future once the game officially releases, you know. So I think there's potential there, man. And free to play, like, hey, man, just try it out. You don't need to buy anything. Just play the game. And if you like it, continue playing. If not, it's fine, you know. I think it's pretty dope. Because I always been a fan of The Division. You know, the other day, I was just searching through my hard drive, and I found a video, Pete, that you were there, you were in it, Paris was in it. This was E3 2018, the first time that we got to play The Division 2. And you hear all of us, DJ Knight was with us in that session. And yeah, this is the part where we were playing. I think there was like a plane somewhere. It was like an airport.
I remember this. Yes, yes, yes.
I remember. Yeah, yeah. And actually, I'm going to post that one of these days, like on Twitter. But it looks, oh my God, it looks a little bit rough because it was like a really early build. Mm-hmm. But we had a great time, you know. And I found other videos of us playing Dark Zone for the first time and everything. Like, yeah, it was really cool, man. So I'm excited to see this version once this officially comes out, man. So I'm gonna play the audio interview here on GTR, and once we come back, we have, I believe, one fan mail question. We'll see. We'll read it here. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hello, I'm Fabrice Navrez. I'm executive producer at Ubisoft Mobile HQ.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. I got to see an advanced copy of of the presentation of The Division. I'm a huge Division guy, by the way. Play Part 1, love Part 2, and I'm glad that this is coming for mobile, because this is going to be a lot of people that is going to be playing this for the first time, man. So it's The Division Resurgence, right? And it takes place in New York City. Where this the timeline takes place between Part 1 and also Part 2, which takes place in Washington?
So basically, for The Division Resurgence, we wanted to make a brand new story for The Division fans to discover new stuff, but also to make a story that newcomers could enjoy. And so you will start as an agent of the first wave, so it's before The Division 1, and then a big chunk of the game is right after the events of The Division 1. And we'll see from there what will develop more, but that's the big chunk we have now in The Division Resurgence.
Yeah, but this has the formula of Part 2, correct?
Could you repeat?
Okay, this has like the same gameplay as Part 2, because it's a little bit different than Part 1, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from a gameplay perspective, The Division 2 was kind of the benchmark for us, and really to keep the DNA of the brand, the cover system, the tactics, the specialization, etc. And of course, it also implies a lot of the adaptation to have something very smooth and cool to play on a mobile device and a touch screen, specifically.
Mm-hmm. So does this have also, because one of the things I love about Part 2 is the amount of content that was available there from the beginning. And even after you finish the story, there was also an end game. Are we going to see something like that similar to this one? Because that's when the challenge really gets really, really cool and fun too.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, the content is quite extensive. So on the closed beta itself, it's really focused on the beginning of the game, and I would say the core PvE co-op core of The Division. But later down the road, you will have all the PvP, the Dark Zone, clan-based gameplay, and it will be tons of content, basically. And also, depending on what you like as a player, either you prefer something more cooperative, if you want to play solo, or if you want to play competitive, you will have a lot of stuff to do, actually.
And how difficult was this for you guys? Because the game could get, like, when it comes to control wise, it could get very difficult, you know, just on a regular console and PC. But for mobile, how was it for you guys? And we're going to see controller support too, besides touchscreen.
It's very challenging to make a pretty good mobile control. We spent a lot of time on that. We did a lot of tests. We did a lot of play tests with players outside Ubisoft to make sure that they like what we were doing. There is two key there. It's like we really try to take the Division gameplay, put it on a mobile, and if you take the cover system, we're quite happy with the result so far of how we handle cover system on a touch screen. Mm-hmm. And from there, because we know it's important and expected by the players, is that actually you can fully customize the control. You can change the button position. You can change the size of the button. You can change even the opacity of the button if you want something very visible on screen or like almost transparent. So you should have plenty of options to have the best control for you. And as you mentioned it, we actually do support controllers as well. So you could play The Division Resurgence with your gamepad.
And will that, the touchscreen part, would that disappear or will it still be there once you use a regular controller too, or no?
It's supposed to disappear.
Oh, that's... Okay, I'm all in for that one then. Now, I know this takes place in New York City. I'm originally from there, from New York City, especially Manhattan, where the game takes place, man. So how big is this game compared to like the previous Part 1, where it also takes place in New York City?
So to be very specific, it's 4.5 square kilometers. So I'm not sure in miles, but it's about 60% of the size of The Division 1 open world.
I mean, that's pretty. That's a lot. That's a lot for.
Yeah, it is. It is. And actually, that's a technical feat. With I'm still amazed by that, actually. Mm-hmm. But you really have a quite big open world, quite complex on your screen to explore, and we're super happy about that, because that's one of the core its core promise of the Division experience is to be in those urban environments.
Yeah, I know during your presentation, you guys also mentioned about new factions too in this game. Can you tell us more about it too?
Yeah, sure. So you will have the factions you've met in the previous episode. But if I take a new one, it's the Freemen, for example. So the basic idea was to say, okay, what would happen from, you know, crafty people, engineers, civil workers, etc., if they were if they ally together and try to survive in a collapsing New York City. And so basically they are kind of do it yourself engineers building their own arsenal, and of course from a gameplay perspective, it's to bring also a new tactics and a new faction to handle for the player and to offer basically a new gameplay challenge in the mix.
Yeah, I know that in the game, I love playing with friends and also with randoms. Can you tell us a little bit about the multiplayer part of this game too? And does it have crossplay, cross saves for those that have like the iOS or Android devices?
The game will be a crossplay, cross save between the both OS, and it's the core of the Division. So you can play either solo up until three friends, so a crew of four basically, to make most of the PvE content, which is a co-op content as well. You can play with your friends, but you can, as in the original, you can meet strangers, group on the fly, and try to beat the different challenges in the open world. We will give more details later down the road, but you will have also all the PvP and the Dark Zone aspect of gameplay, where it's social in a sense, but it's your crew against other crews, basically.
Yeah, so I know this is a very, very early build for this, and I know there's going to be some testing for you guys and also for the fans. How long do you think this test will be? Is this like only like a weekend thing, and it's going to be a couple weeks? Can we still continue playing the game until the official game comes out? Like, I know during the early access of previous games that I played, we will have that access and we could play it, and there will be new updates, new content, you know, just as the testing gets better and better all the way to like the release date. Is it going to be something like that too for you guys?
So for that first test, it's going to be 1 week. Mm-hmm. And then we will... We will stop the access because there is still a lot to develop actually, and it's later on in the next test phase where it's going to be a more permanent experience, if you want.
Oh, that's cool, man. And yeah, how was it for you, man, working on this project with the team? Because you know, Division has a really hardcore fans, man. You know, I still to this play, like once in a while I'll go back and play part one and part two just to see if people are still playing. And man, I could imagine the amount of people that are gonna be playing this on mobile, man.
One thing is sure is that we really take a great deal of making sure that it was a faithful game to the original, but that also it's bringing something new for the core fans, basically, to surprise them, and making sure that, and I think that's the big change to have a game on mobile. It's basically to bring even more people in that universe that is just amazing to discover and play.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. When I heard the announcement, I was like, oh, it's probably going to be like an RTS or something, you know, part of the universe. But when I actually got to see the actual gameplay, I was very surprised how close this game looks as like the PC and console versions, man. How long you guys been working on this project, man? Was it very, very difficult to have it as close as possible as a console version?
We started to work on the game late 2018. Mm-hmm. And as it's a very ambitious game, it takes a lot of time to make, and to perfect. And for us, it's the beginning of the journey. It's very important to collect feedback from the community to see what they enjoy the game, basically, and see where we can improve as well.
Yeah, I know, and this is something that the fans will always bring up, you know, especially with part two, because it had so much content, and I felt like people finished that game so fast, right? Was there any challenges or stuff that you guys learned from the previous game, and now, you know, okay, we need to add a lot of content throughout the year or whatever, you know? Is there something that we're going to see after the release of the game, or is it going to be like a very long wait for us, the fans of the game?
One thing it shows is that we have big plans to bring content on a regular pace for the Division Resurgence, because it's really the nature of the project. Actually, it's to be alive, if you want, to bring new stuff, to balance the game, to make sure that the challenges are always at the right level, to bring you know, new weapons, new specialization in the mix, to for the people that are into interactive crafting, they can play around. So you can expect a big support actually once the game will be released.
All right, I don't know if you would like to answer this question, but are we gonna get to see raids in this or no?
I cannot enter into specific, but you can imagine features around that for sure.
All right, so close enough. That's good enough. No, good, man. No, I just want to say when this will be available, and how can people get access to this alpha?
Can you rephrase it?
How people can get access to this build once it's available?
So it's basically you go on the website, you pre-register, and you have perhaps a chance to play the closed beta.
All right.
And somewhere in July.
Oh, somewhere in July. Awesome. Well, yeah. I just want to say congrats to you and the team, and I can't wait to play the alpha and later the build too. So congratulations.
Cool. Thank you, Danny.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete. So, thanks to Ubisoft for giving us the opportunity for this interview. It was a lot of fun. So, Pete, we have fan mail questions. So here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So this is from Vision through our Discord. Make sure to join our Discord if you guys would like to also send us questions through there. But also you can send questions through our voicemail and email, so keep it up. So this is from Vision. He says, hey, GTR crew, I just asked your thoughts on in-game stores microtransaction. If the store has a paywall to feel it, do you still buy items or do you avoid it? Your thoughts, Pete.
I mean, I'm the first one to admit I have been very, very guilty of loot boxes in the past.
Loot boxes or microtransactions?
Microtransactions. Like, all right, so for example, PUBG, they've got the season pass. I purchased the season pass. Depending on how much business travel I have, which is going to interfere with my ability to go through the season pass. But I have spent, you know, in-game G coin, which, you know, I'll throw in $20 every once in a while to try to get, whether it's weapon skins or clothing skins and stuff like that. So depending on the game, like I have no problem admitting I've done that. I've done that for, I think the last game that I did that was not PUBG, was Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Oh, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Pete, I'm still buying stuff. Like, you know, when I play games like, you know, Fortnite or Apex, I just want to buy the season pass. There's items that I just want to customize my characters. I'll do it too. But the good thing is, those moments when you buy those things, it's more to have that unique look, because everybody wants to be different. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants like to look the same, you know? So, but it's not, it's, the thing that I don't like when a company, I mean, they don't do this anymore, but when a company will add like weapons, so you, your weapon could be more powerful based on you investing money on those things, like that I'm against. But if it's a cosmetic stuff, I'm fine with that. I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Yeah. No, no, no. And, yeah, and even going so far as Halo, I think, you know, I'll take that comment back. Halo Infinite. When that first launched, I bought weapon skins, you know, I bought, you know, Master Chief gear, you know, to so that when you remember when we played the three of us and Mark and Rihanna, you know, I had the all black with the yellow stripe, you know, outfit for my Spartan.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It looked pretty dope.
Hey, look, if you're going to be playing a game, you want to be able to personalize so that it makes, so that, that you feel like you have a better, you have a better, you know, you have a better interaction with the game because you want to stand out, right? So I have no problem with doing so, because especially in a game like that where it's free to play, mm-hmm, why not give back a little bit? Hell, I've even done that. Like, go back to the Ghost Recon Wildlands stuff. We got the game, you know, we got codes to play the game. So I went out and I bought in-game content, essentially what I was going to pay for buying the game anyways, because I was going to buy the game. But since they gave me the code, I just said, okay, well, I'm just going to drop $60 on in-game stuff and buy stuff. The only thing was, when I did that, I didn't realize that you could buy weapons in the game. So I ended up buying like the sniper pack and the assault rifle pack. So I ended up getting all of the guns in the game, which kind of was like overpowered because you're playing with like the big, the end game sniper rifle at the beginning. mm-hmm. But for the single player experience, it didn't impact anything. And I couldn't use those in multiplayer anyway, so it didn't make a difference. It was just altering the single player experience to something that was enjoyable for me. And have I done it in the past? Yes. I still do it currently with PUBG. Will there be other games in the future that I do it? Very, very likely. So as long as the game gives me the opportunity to customize the experience for me, I have no problem dropping coin on microtransactions. If A, it supports, you know, the dev, or and or B, it helps, you know, it helps me tie into the game a little bit more because it allows me to customize my player.
Yeah, same here. I'm cool with it. So, by the way, Pete, you want to read the next question? It's in our chat. I'd rather, this can be the first time that we've done it. You know,
what? Oh, in game? Oh, the player start. Okay. Any thoughts on PlayStation Stars announcement? Mm-hmm. So, for those that are not aware of it, you know, they've just launched a loyalty program called PlayStation Stars. It launches later this year. They haven't done a lot of details with regards to it, but you know, this is something that they feel that, you know, is the right time to launch for the PlayStation, you know, for PlayStation in general. It's not a it's not a competitor to Game Pass. It's essentially something where players can learn loyalty points that can be redeemed for PlayStation Network wallet funds, and you can use it later on down the line and maybe spend additional points in the store. You can redeem points for standalone games, add-on content, and other specially themed collectibles. But they've been vague on details as far as what the cost is going to be. You know, how much value will you get for things? What is your thoughts?
I'm fine with this. I always take advantage of the Nintendo program because, mm-hmm, you know, I buy a lot of games through there. So one, you get discounts, you get prizes. Even before that, when this was a thing for Nintendo, you could also use your coins based on whatever you buy, like games, etc., or even DLC expansions. You could also get coins from that. I will use those coins and I'll buy like t-shirts or keychains or like real items that Nintendo will send it to you. And I will do that all the time, man. And it was only available through that website, through the program. You will not find this like in any other stores, you know. So I've done that many times in the past. Now they removed that and they only have it through the digital format where you get like major discounts. Like I've gotten discounts from games like $5 off or $3 mm-hmm off, you know, things like that. So I'm okay with it. And not only that, you could also will download even games through there too based on the program. If you have like a lot of money saved up based on your achievements, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that's cool. And even if it's your birthday, the let's say Nintendo will also give you a
coupon.
Coins coupon or whatever. Like, so places could do the same exact thing. I think it's great, man. I think that's another way for consumers to engage with whatever company they're supporting. You know, I think that will be cool. And they also will have like achievements or goals. And based on that, you will get prizes. I think that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
that's
like being really like idea. Being the first player to trophy to platinum a title in your time zone will get you trophies. And the cool thing is, it's not just dedicated to the States. So it's a worldwide program, not just for the U.S., which is something that we've seen often. And now and not something that really bothered me until I moved to Europe.
Really?
Seeing programs like that were like, you know, just you could only have them in the United States, but I'm glad that now you can do them elsewhere. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and especially if you're a Game Pass subscriber, they also have like their own program, but you will get perks, and based on the challenges that you complete, you get those coins or points, and you could use that to redeem. So for example, you could even donate a charity based on your points, and that's real money that will get sent to the charity organization, you know? Or you could buy games, discounts, movies, digital, like get 3 months free of Spotify membership premium, like, you know. I think that's awesome, and I think companies should do more of that just to keep those fans, they're part of the ecosystem of whatever it is they're trying to promote. You know, it could be the PlayStation Plus subscription service, just buying the games through the PlayStation Store, you know, that type of stuff. I think this genius move. I think this is something that's going to get better and better. Right now, this is like the early stages, and hopefully we'll find out more about the program from PlayStation. But I like it. This is really positive, in my opinion.
No, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Pete?
Man, like we said earlier, it's a slow news week. There's not much out there.
Yeah, it's not. But, I feel like the conversation we had has been great. You know, talking about PC gaming, mm-hmm. my experience, had the interview here. You know, there's going to be more stuff, especially this week. There's multiple games coming out. There's other previews that we might see, too. Like, it's going to be good. And we got to get ready. Comic-Con is coming up, so there might be some announcements from companies there. What else? And then after that is Gamescom, August. That's going to be a pretty big one, I think, man. You know.
Quick question, because so, we mentioned, we touched on Halo Infinite, you know, earlier. I got my flight invite for the new Halo Infinite co-op mode. Did you get it?
Yes, I have. I haven't tried out yet because, again, mm-hmm. I was out of town and I've been super busy. Like, there's a bunch of games that I've received mm-hmm. early in access. I just haven't had the time. But hopefully I could play that. I'm really, really excited to try that out.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Are you going to try it out soon or what? I even talked to Paris, like, hey, we should do like a co-op session. All of us just play and stream it.
I'm down. Well, I'm down, but it's going to be difficult because I leave next week for the States, and I'll be working for like the next 3 weeks in the States.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun. Oh, 3 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. So next week I'm not going to be on Sunday. I have to figure it out if you and Paris could just record something and on Sunday, or we'll figure something out, but I'll be back. Because I have a lot more content coming up the week that Pete leaves to the States. Actually, it's been challenging because all of us have been busy with a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but we still managed to have an episode. Even if we don't have like a live episode on Twitch, we still record something and have it available on the podcast RSS feed. You know, so yeah, just stay in touch. Keep you guys updated if there's any changes. You know, so. It was great recording this episode, Pete. It was I know it was very slow news week, but we managed to talk about God of War, Bayonetta, you know, a couple other things, the Division Resurgence, all that stuff, man. So anything else you want to say before we wrap it up? You're muted.
I think that's it.
All right. So we're out. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 1216. And remember, my book, Danny Loves Video Games. coming out very soon. Pre-orders is coming out very soon. Need your support. This is all on us. Like, that's all us. Self-publishing, no major company supporting us. This is all us, man. So please support if you can. All right, until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.